And so let's listen to these words. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay it back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." The Word of God. So, when I first heard somebody stand up at a place like this and say that you must be saved, when I first heard those terms, it was a little off-putting to me. And I actually grew up in the church, but still, it takes time to grasp this for some, and for me it did. Because when someone said, "You must be saved," the thought in my mind was, "From what?" Right? Okay? "You must be saved." Well, from what? And when our response is, "From what?" we're at a place where we don't yet recognize. And I did not yet recognize my need. And not only did I not recognize my need, but I didn't recognize the power of God's love. God's love wasn't just a love that said, "I love you and you love me, and can't we all just get along and be happy together?" But you see, when we can understand the depths of our need, when we can come to the lowest of low places in our lives and in the challenges we face, when we can get to the lowest of the lows, that is when the highest of the highs comes into sight. And for some reason, God seems to do things when we get to that rock bottom of places, the lowest of the lows. And so it often seems it takes a crisis of one kind or another that we get to this place that's rock bottom. Now, this passage this morning begins out, "He entered Jericho." And Jericho, how many of you have been to Jericho? All right. Is this a high elevation? No. What is it? Low. Very low elevation. In fact, it's the lowest elevation in the region. Very low elevation. And Luke is telling us this, that they're here in Jericho for a reason. And not just because they were in Jericho, but for another reason. He could have said that, he could have skipped that fact. Said Jesus was entering a town and he saw a man. No, that's not how it goes. It says came to Jericho. And Jericho is the lowest of the lows. And it's this kind of place where salvation comes. It's this kind of place where God moves in a way that invites us into a new and better space, and on a journey that takes us into the power and the greatness, the unimaginable and unfathomable heights of God's love. What is your Jericho? What was your Jericho? And maybe there's a Jericho you're facing today. You may have been, we say, saved so many years ago. And yet there may be a Jericho you're facing today. You see, because God doesn't say to accept your salvation and then move on. God says, keep on accepting your salvation. Keep on repenting. Keep on claiming the good news. And that's why it's good news. It's not just something that happens once in a lifetime, but it happens at a place of Jericho, of need, of depths, of rock bottom, of hurt and pain, of crisis. And from out of which God says, I'm going to come to your house today. I'm going to come and be with you forever. I'm going to accept you when no one else has. I'm going to accept you when even you yourself weren't accepting of yourself. When you yourself had given up on yourself. When you yourself felt that there was no hope. And there are many different kinds of crises. Some of us grew up in the church, and you feel like, salvation? When was I saved? I can't really tell you. And yet, the Jericho is there for us to be discovered day by day. For some of us, the crisis is a crisis of messiness. We've gone down a pathway we regret in big ways. There was a man who grew up in the church. His family and friends were part of a church. He was connected and part of the life of the congregation. But he veered off under the influence of friends who had made other choices. And he made the choices with them. Drugs, alcohol abuse, and just living his life away like a prodigal son. And he went out and he was living in a beach house with about 8 other men, people as they would come and go. And he came to the crisis point in his life. He said, God, I don't want to do this anymore. See? And he'd hit rock bottom. He'd hit his Jericho. And God began to work in him and move him and give him the power to say no to drugs and alcohol, to say no to the choices that doomed him in despair. Now, your crisis may not be that crisis. But if it is, I want you to hear this. There's hope in your life. Because if you will say, I'm done with this. God, I want to believe in you. And I need help. And I can't do this on my own. And like Zacchaeus, I'm climbing that tree right now. Because I want to see you. My life, as messy as it is. He's got to move. He's got to call you out from the tree. Say, come on down. I'm coming to dinner tonight at your place. I'm going to reside within you and give you the power to make new choices. Not like you've done before. Now, some of us, that's not our crisis. Some of us, the crisis is of perfection. The crisis of perfection is maybe for those of us who grew up in the church, but we hadn't quite heard the power and gift of God's love because we'd never had quite hit the Jericho of our life. We sat in the middle and content and happy. We had things given us, or we earned things from out of our own beauty, our own brawn, our own strength, our own intelligence, our own ways, gifts. And we were making it. We were not like the guy whose crisis is a crisis of essence. And so we knew that we were not him. And we were part of a church. And surely we were in God's good grace. And that perhaps one day we would make heaven. And the crisis of perfection is that we say, surely I'm doing what I need to do, that I may be called good. There's this little story that's told and said, what if you were going to die today and show up at the pearly gates? And Peter comes out to the front and says, why should I let you in? And what would you say? And if you're in the crisis of perfection, you would say, well, I sang at the choir. I took out the trash before the garbage man came every week. I wrote birthday cards without fail. I never missed a birthday. I wrote cards of blessing to those whose dear ones had died. I missed one or two, but way better than everybody else. I came to church. Well, I missed one or two. At least I was there more than anybody else I know. I walked old ladies across the street and old men even if they'd left me. You see where this is going? The crisis is, who's the savior in this picture? Huh? I did this, I did that, I did this, I did the other thing. And Peter says, you're your own savior. All right. Save yourself. And then it's Christ's face. And it's then that we recognize that God is good. God's love is powerful. God's love overcomes even our own beauty, our own brawn, our own intelligence, our own abilities to provide for ourselves, even for others, and to do the right thing, not like some other people. And to break us out of the comparison game. As long as I'm 75% or above, I've got those 75 people covered, and I'm in the top 25. I figure I'll pass. God says, yes, you can. For some of us, it's a crisis of illness. It's a crisis of pain, suffering. And we recognize we need some help. And that we feel as though pain of our loss, the grief of living, is too much to bear. And that surely there's a better way. And surely there may be a reason or something that can happen with my own illness or my own pain. And we finally say, God, what is it you want me to do with this? And he'll say, come down from the tree of your illness. Let me to dwell in your house and have dinner with you tonight. And I will bring healing and wholeness to you right now. And whether you are healed of your illness or healed of your suffering, we'll use it together for the glory of God. What's the crisis you face in your life? that you can say, God, save me. I want to see you. I'll climb whatever tree it takes to see you. But I want to see. And as sure as day turns to night, and night turns to day, and as the sun rises in the morning, the sun rises in your being. Our risen Savior calling each one of us. And make no mistake, it isn't just Zacchaeus that he'll be calling out in the crowd. But it's everyone, every soul, every person, whoever ventures to live. We'll all face the crisis, one way or another. And his love is so deep and profound, he'll wait until you hit the crisis, until you hit your Jericho. And then he's going to call out, and he's going to name you by name, when no one else either knew your name or wanted to speak it. Come down from the tree of your crisis. I see you. I know you. I want to live with you. Right now. Like never before. And we're going to move through this crisis in a way that we could only imagine. You may be short, you may be fat, you may be tall, you may be skinny, you may be rich, you may be poor. You may have an illness. You may be perfect in so many ways, though not like me, who's perfect in all ways. But I'm calling out your name, and we're going to work through this crisis, that it brings glory to all, that the day might come, not only when the crowd sees and has to wrestle with the fact that I've called your name, but that I'm calling theirs.